Good morning. Like Jeff said, we're finishing off our enthusiasm series, Re-engage the One True God. And that word enthusiasm comes from an ancient Greek word meaning entheos, which is actually the God within. And throughout this series, we're looking at how we can re-engage with that one true God, the God that lives in us, and reignite our enthusiasm in Jesus. Because we know the disruptions of the last few years have really impacted our souls, our life. And so many of us have ended up wandering around stuck. Our enthusiasm for Jesus just isn't the same. And through this series, we're looking at how can we reignite that enthusiasm? How can we come back to Jesus? Because we know that Jesus promises life and life to the full. But sometimes we sit there thinking, where is that life to the full? Where is it? I can't find it. And if your faith hasn't turned out how you hoped for, you feel lost, you feel like you're wandering, you've lost that wonder in Jesus, you're disillusioned, you feel hopeless, you're full of doubt and disillusionment. It feels like maybe your life has been put on hold or changed, and the rhythms that you had a few years ago just aren't working anymore. Maybe for you, the habit of coming to church, that was a fundamental rhythm of your spiritual life. You'd meet with people here on a Sunday, you'd worship together, and then you'd be ready to go out for your week ahead. But that was broken. We couldn't meet as a church for a really long time. And that rhythm, that spiritual rhythm, may have been replaced by other things. And now you're navigating obligations of sport, going out to breakfast, birthday parties, who knows what it is. But I'm just raising a point. Maybe church isn't a priority anymore. Meeting together with others of faith isn't a priority anymore. And where is that leaving our faith? Where is that leaving your faith? Have you ever been in a car and you're driving along and you suddenly go into this automatic pilot mode? I've done it so many times. And you pull up to a set of traffic lights, you get to your end destination, whether it's home or the shops, and you look up and you think, I have no idea how I got here. Is that what your faith feels like right now? That you just looked up all of a sudden, you think, where is my life at? How is my faith where it is right now? Do I even believe anymore? And maybe you're homesick. You feel that longing for the presence of Jesus. And you think, how do I get back to there? How do I come back to Jesus on that pathway back to him? I just don't know anymore. In this series, we've been using a verse from Jeremiah chapter 6, verse 16, and it's been sort of an anchor verse where God says to his people in the Old Testament, these people find themselves in a really similar situation to what we're facing today. Disrupted, stuck, overwhelmed, lost and dry, and a long way from home. And he says, stop at the crossroads and look around. Ask for the old godly way and walk in it. Travel its path and you will find rest for your souls. But you reply, no, that's not the road we want. Stand at those moments where we're tempted to wander away, tempted not to believe anymore. Just stop for a moment and look down that path that has become very familiar, and then look the other way. Ask God, which is the godly way? Help me walk in it. And he says, you will find rest for your souls. Now we know the human soul has ancient roots. We think because we're so modern that we've leveled up. And maybe our society has leveled up compared to previous generations in certain areas. We have scaled up. Maybe it's because of our technology advances. Maybe it's because of the way we live life now. We think we're far superior to previous generations. But the needs of the human soul, the cries, the insecurities, they scream out. They are the same as they have always been. They haven't leveled up. And it doesn't matter how much tech we have, how many social media accounts you have, how much Bitcoin is rising and falling, that doesn't meet the needs of the human soul. We need to find a new path. Not my old path, not my old path, because that doesn't work, but the ancient paths that have always been there, that have always been laid down for the human soul, that bring life and fulfillment in Jesus. The ancient path of trusting, relying on God. The ancient path of repentance, repentance that brings about change to the soul. Worship and thanksgiving. listening to the Holy Spirit. Those ancient parts, they haven't changed. They remain the same for our human soul. We can't level up in that area. So we're looking at resolving to do something about all that we've learned over the last 7 weeks with this series, bringing back that enthusiasm of the God that lives in us when we trust him. And we're talking about a resolution this morning to switch paths to coming home to Jesus. And that coming home to Jesus, part of that means switching from the grind of life, grind to grace. And it's easy to think that following Jesus is just about a disciplinarian God, a God that created us like puppets, that he just whacks us over the head when we do the wrong thing. But when we actually look at the heart of God, we see that's not his motive for creating us. That's not who he is. The God who created us is a God of love. He created us so we could find love, so he could love us, so we could love him. That is the ultimate purpose of creation. But is that our experience? Experiencing God's love and being able to share that love? Are you experiencing the opposite this morning? And the opposite of that love and grace is the grind. Does life feel like a grind to you? Does it feel like you're on a bicycle and you're pedaling uphill and it's really hard? Now, some of you here this morning know that I like cycling, and part of being in Cairns, one of the cycling routes that people go to train is up Lake Morris Road, up to Coppolo Dam, and it's fantastic. It's actually a really beautiful road, and the best thing about it, it's closed off to cars in the morning, so you'll find lots of cyclists there. But no matter how fit, how strong, how many times I've done it, that road is ridiculously hard. The first 8.5 kilometres uphill, 500 metres of elevation, it's a grind. You can't sprint it, you can't punch it out, you have to get down those low gears, put your head down and just pedal. And that's what life feels like for so many of us today. It's a grind. It's like Groundhog Day. Our alarms go off in the morning. We get up, we go to work, we go to school, we go to a boss that doesn't appreciate us. He just wants more and more and takes, and we don't have people that give back to us. And we think, surely there is more to life than this. And there absolutely is. And that's the life that goes from the grind to grace. In Matthew 28:11, this is a very famous quoted verse that Jesus said. He says, "Come to me, all you who are weary and carry heavy burdens, and I will give you rest." Now, in the Message translation or Message version of the Bible, Eugene Peterson did a great job of capturing the heart of this passage. It says, "Are you tired, worn out, burned out on religion?" Because you know what? The world is actually burned out on religion. People don't want to do stuff to earn their way anymore. It's too hard. It's unachievable, unattainable. It's exhausting. But you know what? The world isn't burned out on God. The hunger for the Spirit, for God, for the spiritual realm is more than ever, and we can see that in our world around us. People are seeking the spiritual, but sometimes they're looking in the wrong places. It goes on, "Burned out on religion, come to me. Get away with me and you'll recover your life. I'll show you how to take a real rest. Walk with me and work with me. Watch how I do it. Learn the unforced rhythms of grace. I won't lay anything heavy or ill-fitting on you. Keep company with me and you'll learn to live freely and lightly." I love that phrase, the unforced rhythms of grace. Now, grace is a really big word. It's a broad meaning, but essentially it's about an experience, something that comes to us. It's a place of peace and rest. And God gives it to us because we can't give it to ourselves. And it changes us on the inside. His forgiveness changes us on the inside. His power allows us to live, and that changes us. He says, "Come to me. Turn to the path, the ancient path. Stop trying to do stuff to earn my favor. It doesn't work. Just come to me and have faith." Now, our first experience with grace is what connects us with God. We can never connect to him left to our own abilities. We have this barrier of imperfections and limitations, But grace comes in the body of Jesus Christ. He lays himself down on the cross and takes all the imperfections, all those limitations, and says, all you need to do is have faith in me. You don't have to do stuff. Have faith in me. I've removed all of those things. Grace comes. It's not about me. It's not about leveling up. It's about Jesus. And I can't earn his grace, but I can't run away from his grace. And I can't do anything bad enough that is going to remove his grace from me. He gives it to us because he loves us. That is his heart. He is a God of love. And grace connects us to God. And it gives us what we need to live as well. 2 Peter chapter 1 says, by his divine power, God has given us everything we need for living a godly life. All you need to live this life is grace, and Jesus gives it to you. Grace empowers us to do God's will. Have you ever thought, I can't do God's will? It's back to that Groundhog Day effect. I end up just going back to that daily grind. I end up just going back to my path because it seems easier at the time. I'm just going to keep going down that path. But you know what? That's not inevitable. Sin is not inevitable because Jesus gives us that grace and that empowers us to do his will. And his will is not the way of sin. We don't have to go down that path when we trust in Jesus. He will empower us through his Holy Spirit to keep walking with him. Now, the Apostle Paul in 2 Corinthians says that we're like clay pots. He says, we have this light shining in our hearts, but we ourselves are like fragile clay jars containing this great treasure. The light, that treasure, is the grace we've received. But we are broken vessels. We're like cracked pots. Maybe cracked pot? No, we're cracked pots. We're broken vessels, but that unspeakable grace lives in us. Now, is it your mission in life to look like the perfect vessel? Absolutely not. We can't be a perfect vessel. We are all cracked pots. I am, you are. But that's the thing about grace. No matter how cracked your pot is, the light, the grace can live in you and it shines out through you. And that grace doesn't bring attention to itself. It's about how much grace can I know? Because Jesus is giving it to me freely. You are complete, even in your cracked pot state. And there's nothing you can do to change his grace. He gives it to you anyway, because he loves you. Come home to Jesus, knowing his grace. And another way we come home to Jesus is actually to switch from consumerism to community. Now, this is a really tough one, but I'm not going to dwell too much on this point because I think we all know that we live in a very consumeristic society. And I think we also all know that we aren't designed, we aren't created to live alone, to be alone. We need others in life and our faith journey. Now, originally, a long time ago, Sunday was about faith and coming together as a community. You would see shops are shut down, nothing else happens except church. And people would come, usually there's one church in the town, and people would come, that's what you did on a Sunday. You celebrated your faith, and you came together with people with other believers. But that rhythm has been broken. There are so many options now, and those options are really loud. And we also now have the opportunity to church shop, to look around, to go online. There are so many options. And we become a consumer because we never really plan ourselves. We never really commit to other people and plant ourselves in a community. And that's the culture now. And I really believe that's actually affecting our faith because we aren't committing to each other. Wouldn't you like to just come home and find your people? And I think most of us want that in our hearts. We don't want perfection. We want a listening ear. We want to have somewhere where we can live out our purpose, where we can help out, where we can be part of what the bigger picture of God's kingdom, because there is security in that. Jesus calls us to go down that ancient path and resolve to come back to that commitment of his community. Because when you plant yourself and find yourself in community, your light in your cracked pot life can shine through and encourage others. And walking with Jesus down that ancient path of coming home to him is going to be a whole lot easier because you're doing it with others. And I hope you find that, hope you come to that resolution to actually commit and plant yourself in a community, whether it's this church right here or another church around us in Cairns, to find that ancient pathway, to resolve to come back to that rhythm, that spiritual rhythm. Because Paul says in Romans chapter 12, just as our bodies have many parts and each part has a special function, so it is with Christ's body. We are many parts of one body and we all belong to each other. I love that he says that we all belong to each other. Community isn't about individualism. But in saying that, deciding to plant yourself in a community is an individual decision. You need to decide that. Do you choose the stuff or do you choose to plant yourself? Because it is going to cost you. That decision will cost you. There aren't enough hours in the day to do both, usually. And there's probably not enough strength in your heart to do both. What's your resolution? Will you make the hard call? And once you make it, you'll actually find it's not that hard at all. But the final point I want to share with you this morning in that resolution to come home to Jesus is what I want to focus on. It's about losing our wonder, wandering away from Jesus. Because as Christians, it's really easy to lose that amazement and awe that we are sons and daughters of God. That ancient path of wonder leads us back to Jesus, to get away with God, to go to those places, those secret places where it's just you and him, and sit in awe and amazement of who he is and what he's done. For me, those places are usually in nature, when I'm surrounded by beautiful creation. It makes it easy for me to sit and go, God, you are amazing. Because if we don't do that, the disappointments of life shrivel you. It's easy to be crushed by what's going on in the world. And it's draining. And those unsolved riddles of God where we think, why didn't God come through when I thought he should have? Those can cripple our faith and we can walk away. We start to wander away without any wonder. And when we're in that mode, what do? We end up taking back the steering wheel. We grab the ship and we take hold. And when the storms of life come, or not even when the storms of life come, it's like you don't know where to point anymore. You don't know where the horizon is. You don't know what direction you should take. And you're back in the grind. You think, there's no purpose to my life. I'm just doing stuff again, and it's a vicious cycle. You know, it's okay to win the rat race, but if we're winning the rat race, we're still a rat. Sometimes we've got to realize, where is my compass gone? Where is true north? And true north being Jesus. Am I pointing at him? Am I walking towards him? We need to return to that simple wonder, that simple awe. How long has it been since you've just sat in wonder with God? That's easy. The first thing we often do in the morning is grab our phones and scroll through whatever it is, social media. We get distracted, things come upon us. But how long has it been since you've just got up in the morning and sat and breathed in the presence of Jesus, to breathe, to remember, to be amazed? There's a story in the Gospel of Luke, and this story tells of us of a woman who comes to Jesus' feet. And this woman was an outcast in society because of the life she lived. She was an immoral woman, so probably a prostitute. And Jesus was invited to this dinner by the Pharisees, and it was this dinner where it was actually a trap that was set, like a snake pit. But Jesus goes along to this dinner, and it says that he was reclining at a table. So I don't know if you know about history, but those tables were quite low and benches were quite low. And the guest of honour would sit kind of in the middle. And depending on your status, then you would be positioned around the table. It was very staged, and it was to show people your status and what was going on in the world. So this woman turns up and she's in the wrong place. She should not have been in that room. She should never have been there, and especially at the feet of Jesus. Picture her right there, every single person in that room that night looking at her, everyone knowing that she did not fit in. This was a place for good people. This was a place for the religious upright. This was a place for those who were upstanding in society. And the only one comfortable with her being there that day was Jesus. She was being watched and judged by everyone else. Have you ever felt that echo of judgment from other people? Sometimes we make it up, but sometimes it's actually real. And those words, those judgments rattle around in our brain. We've heard the words, this lady would have had that. She would have known that. She would have known she was being judged that day. She knows she's lost the game of life. She's a prostitute. She probably knew some of the men in that room. That's who she was, and that's where life had taken her. There was no more competing for her in this rat race because she was at the bottom. She was just trying to survive that day. But she found a way to break the cycle of that rat race in her life. And she found it at the feet of Jesus. And that's what drove her to do it that day. It can only be wonder at who Jesus was, because everyone else in that room was judging her. Luke chapter 7 says, when a certain immoral woman from that city heard he was eating there, she brought a beautiful alabaster jar filled with expensive perfume. Then she knelt behind him at his feet, weeping. Her tears fell on his feet and she wiped them off with her hair. Then she kept kissing his feet and putting perfume on them. The more I dwell on this passage, the more I think, I want to be like this woman in that very moment. I want to just throw it all away and come to Jesus and sit at his feet. I don't want to care what people are thinking about me or what their judgments are. I just want to come and be like her at that day, at that moment, and sit in wonder at Jesus' feet. How much more gritty and brutal can you get than a moment like this? She probably only had one thing in life, and that was that jar, that beautiful jar. And she brought it, all that she had, and she cracks it open and she says, all that I've got is yours, and she puts it on Jesus' feet. She releases it with tears and weeping. Tears and weeping as she repents, and all she could do in that moment was wonder. Jesus, his forgiveness. She wasn't accepted by society, but even though she wasn't accepted by society, Jesus showed her that day that she was loved. She was the one that Jesus showed favor to that night. And he said she'd be remembered forever. And here we are reading her story. Sitting at the feet of Jesus, doing something so detestable in the eyes of the Pharisees that day. But she did it out of courage and faith. Jesus doesn't tell her to go and read her Bible and have a quiet time. He doesn't tell her to clean up her life before she came to him. He didn't tell her that she just wasted one of the most expensive perfumes on the earth. He didn't tell her that she was wasting money. He forgave her. He showed her love. He recognizes that what she did that day was an act of courage and faith. At that moment, he broke all the rules, because it's not about the rules. He loved her as she sat in wonder at his feet. He did it in front of all of the critics, all of the Pharisees that day. The awareness of God's closeness, his love, coupled with her awareness of her own sin, all she could do was weep. Pour out perfume and weep. To say, this broken jar of life is all that I have, and I'm going to give it to you. And it's like incense going up to God. Have I forgotten what it's like to know that my shame, my sin is erased? Or have I just gotten used to living with it? Have I somehow normalized this thing? Have we forgotten? Has the tank, the spark, gone? Has the enthusiasm for Jesus in your life gone? How long has it been since you've sat at the feet of Jesus and even wept? How long has it been since you've had a revived heart? And when did I stop bringing my best to Jesus and laying it down at his feet? The lady that day said, whatever I am, whatever I have, I'm going to bring it all. She didn't bring what was left over. She brought it all. And that's the resolution coming home to Jesus, is bringing our all and sitting at the feet of Jesus, sitting at and wondering at who he is and what he has done for us. She came home to Jesus, and we can do the same thing. And when we come home to Jesus and we're sitting at his feet and we're immersed in that wonder, share it with the faith community, with those around you, even with those who aren't Christians, because that's what it's about. We can encourage and build each other up and spur each other on that pathway to coming home when we share the stories of what God is doing in our life. We can walk the ancient path to Jesus as we come home to him with enthusiasm. We can switch from that grind to his grace. We can live out our faith in community as we stop and wonder in Jesus. What act of courage and faith do you need to do to come and sit at Jesus' feet this morning? Let's pray. Jesus, thank you so much that we have people around us that can support us, that we are not alone, but mostly that you live inside us when we trust in you. And I pray that this morning that we can just know your grace, that we can know your freedom in that, that we can just come to you and lay it all down at your feet, that we can be like that woman that day and just bring it all, that we can know that we are forgiven and just sit in awe and amazement and wonder at what and who you are. Jesus, I pray that you'll bring each of us back, that we will come home to you, that we will keep walking the path that you show us, that we'll listen to you, that we will have those moments week by week, day by day, minute by minute, that stop us, that make us think, God, you are an amazing, awesome God. You are worth it. I pray that you'll bless us this week, that we will see those moments with fresh eyes, that our enthusiasm for you will be reignited as we re-engage with you. In Jesus' name, amen.